the National Hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a couple of minutes, we'll welcome in Blake Wheeler, former NHLer. Did a terrific job moonlighting a little bit on Hockey Night in Canada.
Mm-hmm. What's the origin of that term?
Moonlighting. Anyways, I don't know.
Continue. I'll Google it.
I think you're hiding. You're hiding doing a job.
You think so?
I don't know. Look
having
it
a
up.
Having a second job in addition to one's regular employment.
There you go.
So exactly
you
right.
You actually nailed it.
Nailed
there
it.
You go.
Plenty to talk about off ice as well, including what's wrong? Oh, your jersey. You're so excited about
I think
the Leafs.
We did it yesterday too, didn't we?
You gotta leave it now. Yeah. Gotta leave it. That's okay. I'm usually all over you.
Sorry, man. Go ahead.
But that's okay.
Large Leafs match tonight.
Large, very large. Jason Bukla will join us as well, former NHL scout, Pro Hockey Group, and Sportsnet. Always love his insights as well. So we're going to get into a ton for sure in terms of Adam Foote in Vancouver, Rick Tocchet in Philadelphia, Ken Holland in L.A. But I want to start with Jets talk.
Mm.
And
do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. How do you feel about another road loss and their chances of coming back here, and where is this on potentially being a very tough ending to a fantastic season?
They're in real trouble. They're in real trouble. It's not so much that the Jets can't beat Dallas, not so much that I don't think they'll go back into Winnipeg and get another game off them. Beating the Dallas Stars three times, who now have Miro Heiskanen back, and they're fully loaded, right? They got everyone. Rantanen's found himself as the best player in playoffs so far. Mm-hmm. They're in tough. I don't know what else to say other than, we talk about the Leafs in the first hour trying to get through Florida. It's hard to get through this Dallas team, and boy, they got some firepower too.
I thought they were good last night. Ottinger was better.
Where were you on Granlund being a killer?
A hat trick in playoffs. I mean, it's cool to see. I will say, I like seeing.
Boys, I didn't like that first goal. We're just showing the first goal where he gains the blue line like it's nothing, and then I'm sorry, but.
I played
a lot of games, practiced a lot of days against really good NHL goalies.
Yeah.
None of them fell down on their ass after, a 30-foot wrist shot. I don't know.
The first one?
Yeah. Just watch the first one. Watch him fall back. Does he have balance?
Yeah, no, I think you're onto something there.
Look, I don't see a goalie. Right. Fall backwards on his ass after a 40-foot wrist shot, a 30-foot wrist shot. It's weird.
Not even like off the inside of the post or anything.
It's like he is he looked so uncomfortable for me. Connor Hellebuck.
Finn's dominating for the Stars. They have 18 goals from Finnish players.
Is that right? Granlund, Hintz, Rantanen.
Yes. And the rest of the NHL, 14. So there you go. Tons of Finns dominating for them.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know what I do like seeing? I like seeing deadline acquisitions make a difference for a team because I want to encourage that from GMs. But Rantanen and Granlund for them, pushing them through to some wins here should be encouraging. The Jets stood pat at the deadline. Very minimal additions, Tanev, Shen.
Those are good, but they're not Granlund and Rantanen, for sure.
Almost impossible to replicate that.
Granlund they got from Nashville.
San Jose.
Because
they got CeCe with them too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. One of those guys, I think he was at $5 million. Mm-hmm. So it was like somebody paid him thinking he was a very good player.
Right.
But not one of those names at the trade deadline. You're like...
We must have him.
He was not high on the... trade talk.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, he went, I think it was maybe a week before that. Like he was not on the day. He was a couple days before, maybe a week before, but yeah,
it was a sneaky Jim Nill pickup and it's looking that way right now.
Yeah. No doubt about that. So they're finding a way, Dallas, to get through it. You know, it's a long shot. Call it a 20% chance now for the Jets. Beating Dallas three straight times, but get a couple of two of the three games will be at home, which is encouraging. You just need your top guys.
Scott Arneil on the opening goal. Obviously, Connor Hellebuck wants the first one back, the wrister.
Yeah.
All right, let's welcome him in, Blake Wheeler. 1,172 games, 943 points. But one of the highlights of your career has to be working with Elliot Friedman, no? Blake?
That takes the cake, guys. That takes the cake.
Well, where are you right now? You settled back in back home?
Yeah, I'm back in Connecticut. I'm about to hop on the ice with my 7-year-old son. We got practice tonight, so it never stops, guys.
All right, so how did you enjoy the last few nights playing the part of broadcaster, you know, journalist, insider, all of that stuff that you dreaded facing? And how many times did you hang up on Elliot when you played?
I had an absolute blast. You know, we had a good time. Those guys are such pros. They actually made it really easy on me. So I couldn't have had a better time. They were, like I said, they treated me very well. It's funny. I saw somebody made a comparison. Me doing that was like Roy Kent doing that. And Ted Lasso. I thought that was pretty funny and pretty fitting. So
he did a great job. It was really enjoyable to watch. Love to tap into some of your expertise. So you're a big guy. You scored a lot of goals and points in the NHL in the regular season, and your points per game in the playoffs are very similar to your regular season numbers. But, you know, we just know it gets harder for these guys. Auston Matthews is having trouble being the same guy he's been in the past in the postseason. What gets harder as an offensive player in the postseason trying to be the guy you've always been?
It's time and space. You know, yeah. You got to keep in mind that you're playing a 7-game series and the other team has spent a ton of time game planning against what you do well. So you're facing a team that's focused a ton of time and energy on limiting you feeling good on the ice. So in a series like Florida, that is specifically what Florida does incredibly well. They make that game incredibly boring and incredibly frustrating to play against. So I made note of it the other night on TV that's where the power play is so important, because even if you're not scoring goals, you want your power play at least to have your best players touching the puck, feeling good, so that, you know, it's not bleeding into the 5-on-5 game. If that power play is stalled, if you're breaking it out, if you're trying to enter three times and those guys are getting back to the bench, slamming the door and frustrated, it bleeds into their 5-on-5 game. So, you know, that's where I think that there could be opportunity for little adjustments and getting those Leaf players in positions where they're most effective, so that even if they're not scoring on the power play, at least they're touching the puck. At least they're creating some scoring chances. At least maybe Auston Matthews is hitting a couple one-timers so that he's feeling like, okay, that feels good. That feels normal again. Right. So maybe he gets an opportunity 5-on-5, and that third opportunity that comes 5-on-5 goes in the back of the net.
Blake, if there's by chance, you know, at game 5, 6, or 7, and we don't see a lot of power play opportunities, you, along with the greats, including Auston Matthews, played on top lines. Is there anything else in terms of maybe talking to the coach, changing up a line mate or freeing you up a little bit, different system or forecheck? Is there other ways that a coach can help a player outside of just trying harder or waiting for a power play to build some confidence up?
Well, at home, you definitely can be helped out a lot because you control the matchup. So that's a, you know, great opportunity for, you know, Berube to try to get that matchup, to maybe get him a couple more advantageous matchups. You know, he can maybe get him out in an ozone faceoff against the other team's third or fourth line. There's little things matchup wise at home that you can control to try to get your best players out and maybe get them a little better look. And, you know, my mindset in matchups like this, you know, if I was playing against a line that was maybe getting the better of me, maybe I was feeling a little bit frustrated, my mindset going into a game like that is I'm just going to make their life as miserable as possible. So maybe I don't factor in on the score sheet, but that other line, that other matchup that I'm going against, they're going to feel me all night long. So That's a little subtle hack into it too. Like the mindset in these series is, you know, am I making the other team's life hard? Am I making their life easy? You know, and those are the little games within the game that can show up, especially later in the series.
Yeah, I love that.
How much do you think it's like within your control to, you know, as I played wing, and for me it was like, you can't really go take the game by the horn sometimes. You just kind of have to wait for your spots and whatever. Is it tough when you're pushing and you want offense and you want to score to kind of remain patient and just kind of, I don't know, hope you get your chances?
Yeah. Yeah. It is hard.
Yeah. Okay. Next question.
And especially when you're the captain of the team, especially in a Canadian market, especially in Toronto, especially with the narrative that's been going on around this team, you know, those are all heavy weights that you got to carry around. So factoring all those things in, the answer to that question is absolutely yes. Mm-hmm. So as much as, you know, you want to stay composed, you want to stay patient, you want to stay within yourself and let the game come to you, this is a massive moment in these guys' like window of opportunity as far as this group being together. So game five of this round, I wouldn't use patience as maybe the word that I would go into this game with.
Yeah.
You're watching and listening to Blake Wheeler, former National Hockey Leaguer and now star of Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. Blake, in terms of the Winnipeg Jets, we had just briefly talked about the game last night and maybe their chances of coming back into this series at all. But let's just start first and foremost, and I know you guys have talked about this the last couple of days as well, but, you know, this Jekyll and Hyde of winning and losing at home and on the road, and particularly Connor Hellebuck now losing all his magic on the road. Like, what are the first couple of thoughts as to how that could possibly happen with a team that was well known for their consistent play on the road all season?
It's one of those things that's kind of unexplainable to a certain extent. You know, I would almost use the same comparison as I just used with the Maple Leafs. This is such a narrative now that there's just no escaping it. Like, there's no way to not carry this with you into games. You know, like, you go into a road game in Dallas, all you're thinking about is, I just want to win this game so bad so nobody talks about these road playoff woes anymore. The thing I will say about Connor Hellebuck is it's very clear he's the best goaltender in the world, and he has been the last few years. I mean, he's up for the Hart Trophy this year. That's very rare for a goaltender to be nominated for the Hart Trophy. It, you know, it wasn't too long ago. Well, maybe it feels like a long time ago now, but I remember playing a game seven with him in Nashville, and, you know, he was a young player at the time, and the poise and the confidence that he exuded. So it's in there. He's done it before. He's shown up in big moments in the past. We won a couple must-win playoff games in St. Louis the year after that. We ended up losing that series, but our backs were against the wall at that point too. So there's no question it's in there. They're in a big rut here the last couple playoffs on the road. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I don't think anyone has a real easy answer to, you know, the team included.
You know, one of the things you mentioned there is, you know, you want to go in the road game so everyone kind of stops talking about this silly thing. Well, you know, we're in Toronto and everyone's talking about Matthews and Marner are not creating this. And then Stu Skinner after the game the other day, they said, how do you quiet the noise? And he was like, what noise? He was able to turn it out. How much did you hear from the outside, and how much did it affect you and your teammates when you're in these playoff series?
I love that answer, and I would be curious how true that answer
is. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you can do all the things you want. You can delete the social media apps from your phone. You can turn off the radio. You can not turn the TV on. All those things are great. And then you lose a game, you walk into the dressing room, and there's reporters in front of you asking those questions. So the fact of the matter is, it's real. And it's part of the job, and it's part of the pressure and the privilege of playing in a Canadian market. When you play in a Canadian market that people truly care about what you do for a living, that's why it's such a beautiful thing, and that's why it's such a stressful thing at the same time. So it's really, really, I would say, impossible to drown out the noise, especially in 2025. You can be proactive and do all these different things. But like I said, you know, when you lose, what is it now, 9 straight road playoff games, like, you know that, and you know you're answering that question after practice, after games, day after day.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, and you, along with Austin Matthews, an American player playing in Canada, was there anything you growing up watching, listening, that could have prepared you for a Canadian market and the scrutiny that comes with it? And you played in other markets, including New York. But is there anything that you could think of that a player can do to prep himself that didn't really grow up in that culture? Or is it just something that you have to just learn year after year?
I don't think there's really much you can do. It's something that, how do you prepare yourself for that? You know, I think the best way to do it is to really look at it, like I was trying to say before, like what an amazing opportunity to play in a market where people truly care about what you do for a living. And certainly there's moments where, you know, that feels very true and moments where it doesn't feel as true. So it's like the human element of it, that when times are good and you're playing in a market like Toronto or Winnipeg or Edmonton, I mean, there's no better place to play. And, you know, when times are a little bit tougher, it can be tough because you feel like you can't leave your house. So, you know, that's just like any, you know, that goes for the Canadian markets, but it goes for, you know, the big US markets. It's just the way it is. And, you know, those are the teams you ultimately want to play for, because you want to play in front of, you know, sold out houses. You want to play in front of people who really love the game of hockey. Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things that the Leafs fans here are hoping is different for their team this year is Craig Berube's a little bit more chill. Like, he's just a little, he doesn't seem to get too high, too low, too unaffected. I'm sure you've seen different coaches deal with the same group of players. And is it possible to really, I don't know, get them to react differently in these situations? Or is it kind of like the guys in the room are who the guys are?
No, I think so. Yeah. I think the guys respond to the coach and their personality. And, you know, keep in mind, it's not too long ago he won a Stanley Cup. So right. He knows the blueprint. Like, he has been in adverse situations and handled it and thrived and won. So I think, if anything, those guys are really looking to him. And they look behind the bench and they see a poised guy who's, you know, not disturbed by the moment. I think that they can draw a ton of confidence from that, especially in, you know, times like now where they've lost two games and now the noise gets a little bit turned up. And when he's cool, calm, and collected behind the bench, I think that's something they can really draw on.
Blake, the Edmonton Oilers can advance to the conference final in consecutive postseasons for the first time since 1990 to 1992. What's the biggest difference between the team that we saw in the Stanley Cup final last season to this one this year?
I mean, last year felt like a surprise, I would say. And, you know, almost in the regular season this year, it felt like they were kind of biding their time. Felt like they were kind of getting through it. They were building slowly all year. I think they learned a ton from that run last year of, like, what it takes, what it took out of them. And, you know, as they were ramping up for the postseason, like, the question I had in my mind was are they able to get to that level again? Because you didn't really feel like during the regular season they'd maybe gotten to that same Stanley Cup caliber level. Like, you know, they're kind of finding their game a little bit all year. And now as the playoffs have gone on, you've seen, you know, that they've taken their game to another level. Like that last game in Edmonton, that was a team, when you watch that game, that looks like a team that can win the Stanley Cup. And the thing that honestly stood out for me more than anything in that hockey game was I was watching 97, and I wasn't watching him with the puck going up the ice. Mm-hmm. I was watching him come back. And that was different. That's different with Connor McDavid. He was coming back. He was breaking up a ton of plays. He was stripping guys from behind. That looks like a guy who's committed to doing whatever it takes to win a Stanley Cup. And keep in mind, I think he's a couple points behind Ratnan, but I think he has 17 points in like 10 games or something like that. The offense is there, but like, he's playing a 200-foot game.
Yeah. Blake, I want to ask you a self-serving question before I let you go, because you played in some of the coolest arenas. We would have played each other for a couple years in college. You were at Mariucci and I was up in Alaska. I assisted on a game-winning overtime goal in playoffs. No big deal. Let's not talk about that. But you also played in Winnipeg. So you had the great vibes in Mariucci, the great vibes in Winnipeg. And I want to get your thoughts on playing in unbelievable arenas and how it actually does impact energy levels and the vibes of a game.
In an incredible way. I mean, we didn't have an NHL hockey team most of my childhood. So University of Minnesota, that was our NHL. So to play at that arena, Mariucci Arena, as a college kid in front of 10,000 fans every single night was like a dream come true for me. To start my career in Boston, to play in front of those fans, right, a team that was ramping up to win a Stanley Cup, you know, and then go right from there to Well, I guess I had a pit stop in Atlanta. That was a different story. We'll bookmark that one. And then Winnipeg, you know, has just been like electricity since day one. And to finish my career playing at Madison Square Garden, which was, you know, my favorite arena of them all. So,
cool.
You know, I was very lucky to play in some of the really coolest atmospheres in pro hockey, and really, really proud of being a part of like building what's been built in Winnipeg and like establishing that culture and establishing kind of what you see now. You know, I take a lot of pride in that. I know all the guys that played sort of in my era in Winnipeg feel the same way.
Blake, really appreciate your time. Welcomed on the show anytime, my friend. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, man.
That is Blake Wheeler.
By the
way,
what's
that? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's funny because I was just like checking out the college hockey rosters from when we played each other. And I was like, yeah, him and I, we were both pretty good players. And I checked, he's 4.5 years younger than me. We were playing at the same age.
Yeah, we're on the same level.
Yeah, me, him, Blake, we're the same guy.
4.5. Yeah. Not much of a difference.
I was a 23-year-old senior, by the way.
I really liked his comments that if it's not going well for me, then I'm going to make someone else I'm playing against miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Me too.
And Austin's done a good job against Barkov, the 5-on-5. But he's done it without making him feel like he's miserable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That's the only difference.
Yeah. I also like his point that, you know, great to see these guys, you know, playing, doing all these other things. The power play would be a nice spot for them to just grab a couple of those points that make these guys feel better about things.
I just love what he said about that. Even if you don't score, like, yes, you feel it. You don't go back to the bench slamming your stick and you're frustrated and that's banner. It's great point. That was good.
Yeah, that was really good.
He also mentioned, you know, in this market, Canada, there's times you can't leave your house. You don't want to leave your house.
Noise can be terrifying.
Exaggerating. He's not, you know, it's not tongue in cheek. It's, yeah, guys, that's the difference between our country and a lot of markets down south.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt.
Did you want to have a quick talk at combo before we do game time here, before we get to, or do you want to save that with?
Yeah, we'll go after the break. We'll get into Rick Tocchet.
We got Books coming up, so I just didn't know if you wanted to do it just among us.
All right, then just in terms of...
They announced it today.
Rick Tocchet officially coach of the Philadelphia Flyers.
It seemed too obvious.
No real surprise here.
No.
And our good buddy on Fridays, Doug McLean, called this like 3 months ago.
Oh, God.
He did. I'm telling you.
Friday is just going to be a... He's just going to be...
Oh, and...
Maybe he's on the road.
I kind of feel a little bit for Vancouver fans, and I've said this as well, that there's many reasons, and like it's just not about the money, mm-hmm. but I think in this case, it came down to always, first and foremost, about the money.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Vancouver did not or would not step up when he knew that what was out there waiting for him was a market that put him now probably right behind Mike Sullivan, guys. He is one of the highest paid coaches in the National Hockey League right now.
Wow. I mean, he had just oodles of leverage based on 6 NHL openings in desirable markets. You know, a year removed from winning a Jack Adams, where, yeah, if you don't want to match the other teams, I'll just go coach somewhere else.
And I know there's various reports in Vancouver. I heard, was it about $4 million, maybe times 4 or 5, mm-hmm. but it was 4. And I got to think he's up around 6 now.
Yeah.
And I have not heard the term, but I would imagine on a rebuilding team in Philadelphia, He could go 5 to 7 years on a long term deal if he chose that.
And he's an easy guy to get along with. Like, he's not going to blow that up.
Can I ask you though? Like, I mean, the money matters, but I mean, it's Rick Tocchet and the Flyers.
Yeah,
like it's. I mean,
the firing of Torts has partially got to be related to like that guy's available.
I mean, he's a Flyer Hall of Famer. He's really tight with Jonesy and Briere. Like, it just felt like it was the most obvious thing ever.
It is. It was for sure. In that market and his history there and where his status now as a coach now has gone to another level, it made a ton of sense. And, of course, we got to mention Adam Foote. Again, no real surprise here. At the end of the day, if we're talking about strictly money, mm-hmm. big difference between giving Tuck at $5 or $6 million and Adam Foote at what could be considered a starting salary in the National Hockey League for a head coach with no head coaching experience yet at that level. 1.2, 1.4
Really? Think so?
That's the starting market for an NHL head coaching job with no experience.
So Vancouver
could
fans.
Could be more. Yeah. Could be more, but I don't think so for an organization notoriously known for not paying coaches top dollar. Right.
Exactly what I was going to bring up, because I know we're on in Vancouver and Vancouver fans are listening to this. Like, I mean, I feel bad for Adam Foote going in there and like having it be this perception, but I can tell you from the Vancouver people that I've sort of followed and reading this stuff on X and just kind of getting a feel for it, this does feel like what you're talking about with them not willing to pay a lot.
It's the
I hate to say it, because you could
Murphy
do a good
Raw,
job.
Is
but,
it where he says to his mom he wants to go to McDonald's? Yeah. She's like, we have hamburger meat at home.
Yeah, exactly.
You go home and
yeah.
make that burger.
That's the burger with the green stuff yeah. sticking out, the onions, and it's like
one Wonder Bread.
As Eddie Murphy, was that don't look like McDonald's.
But Adam Foote is a awesome and like one of the, a great NHLer. He's you know I just. Feel bad disparaging him on the first day he gets named this first head coach. You know what I mean?
Not.
But like,
we're not.
I just, there's we're a not. Perception it's, amongst it's Vancouver to, fans about
it's
it.
Not, it's the, not about Adam Foote yeah. or what he can or can't do. He could be a great National Hockey League head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just the path that they chose.
Well, and Tuck, it was an established guy.
That's as yeah, an organization. Yeah, yeah. And just to kind of advance this a little bit, advantage Adam Foote knowing all the issues going on mm-hmm. instead of a new guy coming in and going, well, now I get a fresh start and let's bring in Pettersson and I got a chance to work with him and it's a clean slate here. Or does he pick up where Tockett left off in terms of yeah. knowing where the real issues are off the ice?
This is one of your least favorite things.
Hate it.
Yeah, you've always like, been on.
If you,
what would you have done if you owned the Vancouver Canucks? Would you have gone to a guy that knows what's going on and all the issues, or would you started out with a guy that really knew nothing?
Here's the thing I say all the time. He was here when the issues were happening. If he had solutions, we could have used them. Where were they then?
Yeah.
You got a new solution? Like, I don't like hiring assistant coaches purely because like the team failed, so we fired the coach. But you were on the staff. Did you have a new breakout you could have brought us, perhaps? Like everything I've heard about Foote is great.
Yeah.
This is not about Foote. I don't like hiring assistant coaches typically for the organization they've been with after the head coach is gone. And yeah, it never feels right when they're like, they saved money on the guy. It's like, well, no fan wants to hear or know that.
Could Quinn Hughes love him?
I think he does. I think that's part of like, hey, this is the key
yes.
Hughes here.
If Hughes is like, I love this guy, he's hired.
Yeah.
Like you're doing everything in your potential to get him on a long-term contract whenever he's eligible, which is next summer or is it this summer?
I think it's 2 years,
yes.
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so it would be next summer that he would be eligible for a contract extension. So you want to keep him as happy as possible. So
yes.
Good luck to our Canucks fans out there. Crazy year.
Godspeed.
Crazy year.
Yeah.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So two games on the ice tonight, fellas. Two big ones. The Edmonton Oilers with a chance to move on to the conference finals. They are in Vegas. +105 on the money line. Vegas favorites -125. No Mark Stone tonight, I don't think. I think Mark Stone may be not playing. I think he's
Ooh.
Banged up. So
that's a game changer, too.
I'm going to say right now, sitting here looking at that number, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that the Vegas Golden Knights are favorites in this one. I think that's a good spot if you're looking, if you're an Oilers better, that they had some pretty good value on them there at +105. And the one that all of Canada cares by far the most about, the Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Florida Panthers.
You're really trying to get people out west to, like, turn us off right now.
Anyways. -140, the Florida Panthers tonight. Massive favorites in Toronto. +120, the Toronto Maple Leafs on home ice tonight. It's just continuing with the trend this whole series on Bet365. They've been huge favorites in most of the games. They were huge favorites going into the series. They weren't even that big underdogs when they were down 2-0.
They're supposed to win the series. They're the favorites.
So the Leafs, those plucky underdogs, maybe they got a chance tonight against the big, bad
even
Florida
if they
Panthers.
Keep it close, it feel good.
It's just a great try. It's not a fork in the road moment at all for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I got no comment.
Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, off of that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, I'm going to ask you guys, with what everything you've witnessed up until now, who is your Stanley Cup favorite? That and Jason Bukala when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a few seconds, we'll welcome in Jason Bukala, former NHL scout. Does a terrific job with us here at Sportsnet. And Sammy, you got an update for us?
Yeah. So tomorrow, the Toronto Blue Jays are playing a afternoon game, work from dome game. But instead of giving us the day off, our boss has decided to make us come in after a game five fork in the road.
Yeah, seems
moment.
Like what we should come in for.
You know, the demand for us?
Yes, I know.
Our fans would not allow that.
And I'm absolutely thrilled to be doing it. Can't wait to talk about a big win tomorrow. Sportsnet 360 will still be on. We'll be on TV for both hours. We'll be on Sportsnet Plus, streaming on the alt stream on the website. So you can go there. There's two streams there. And we're on the Sportsnet app as well for all the both hours. So Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, streaming on the alt stream and on the app. So we're all over the place still tomorrow, and we're ready to rock.
In the meantime, we're all over the place, coast to coast on Sportsnet. Therefore, we bring in Jason Bukala right now, former NHL scout, pro hockey group, and, of course, major contributor here at Sportsnet. Books, thanks for joining us. So, you know, we had Wendell Clark earlier on, we talked to Blake Wheeler too. Just these guys in terms of the anticipation and the feel when you had when you're a player, and then even Wendell years later. What about scouts on big nights and having some of your fingerprints all over a club? These games can't be easy for scouts now watching, especially one like in Toronto, for instance.
You're dying on the vine, every stoppage, every bad goal, every big goal. These can be the most enjoyable times of year and the most stressful. And the higher up you get, you know the way it is in sports, guys, the higher up you get in an organization, the closer you get to the door. Well, that's exactly what happened to me, right? So we were getting so good in Florida until, you know, they made the change, and trust me, as we were climbing that mountain, and, you know, they still got a lot of pieces there left from our previous staff with Scott Luce and Aaron Janelle and a whole bunch of guys that really contributed out to her. But you're dying every time, because behind closed doors, you're going to have scouting meetings. You're going to be prepping for the combine. You're going to have hard conversations with your general manager. And if things don't go well, they're not very fun. They're not in a good mood, and it puts you on notice, that's for sure.
So, Books, was there one particular game where you felt like maybe your job was on the line? Do you remember it? Do you remember watching certain players going, you're going to get me fired?
No, I don't remember it that way, but I got to tell you this. Like, when I first got to Florida, Brian Skruglund, you guys know Skruglund?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay, so Skruglund, one of the most fascinating human beings you will ever meet. Somebody take a minute to look it up. He's awesome. When I first got to Florida from Nashville, and we had a good run of playoff success there, or at least being in playoffs, and Florida hadn't made it for a while. Do you remember the Adam Henry double? I think it was double overtime. The overtime goal to eliminate us in Florida when Peter DeBoer was coaching Jersey. Screwy was all over me leading it up. He's like, this is great. We brought the guy over from Nashville to make playoffs. Then we get scored on in overtime. And he's like, forget about it. I don't want to talk about you anymore. You know, just like that, it went to a new level. We don't care about making it. We want to have success. You know, beat it. You're no good anymore.
Oh, gosh.
It's chaos. It's chaos for everyone watching. We did talk before we had you on. We talked a little bit about the Canucks getting Adam Foote hired, and there was they made another move today. You seem like the right guy to tell our Canucks fans a little bit of what happened here. Tom Vilander, I believe it's pronounced, has signed his contract.
He has. This is great news for the Canucks. It sounded like in the last couple of weeks they were negotiating the A bonuses and they were coming so close to getting a deal done based on, in my mind, in the big picture, if you're going to sign a really good player long term, this is nickels and dimes at this point, right, guys? And I always hate when you have your A prospects who are already getting kind of ground out for these types of contractual situations. Mm-hmm. The good news is he signed. Here's my comparable for you guys. When we drafted Mike Matheson back in the day out of the USHL in Dubuque, he went to Boston College. And Mike Matheson, I think you both would agree, is an outstanding skater. He tracks pucks. He's generally first on the puck. And then sometimes things kind of break down a little bit there. It might be, not taking the easiest outlet or skating it into traffic. Well, Lander is very similar in a lot of ways. He's an outstanding skater. So when the puck gets dumped in behind him, like the Leafs Panthers series, he's not going to be absorbing contact as much because he's on it so quick that when he's on time, he'll move it to spaces that are safe. That's a great attribute in today's NHL. Offensively, he's a second-tier guy for me, maybe second-unit power play. But what they have going for them there right now in Vancouver with Elias Pettersson, the defenseman, the big rig, on the left side, and now Vilander coming on the right side, this is good news for the Canucks, and I believe both those guys are top four statues, if you will, going forward for several years if things go well. He might make the team out of camp, but it won't be a straight line. But he'll be much better than Timothy Liljegren was. It won't be that long a process for him as a comparable.
So with Vancouver, we'll stick with we'll start with Adam Foote, and in terms of his challenges moving forward and making the playoffs, how far is that away? And then, you know what, Books, just slide it right into Philadelphia for Tocchet and his challenges and how soon both Vancouver and Philly could be looking at potentially challenge for a playoff spot or making even noise in them.
Yeah, so I think Vancouver is very close. I mean, all things considered, that tire fire that went off the rails this year was still hanging around for the last 2 weeks to make playoffs. And that, to me, speaks to the value of that coaching staff. I thought Rick Tocchet did as good a job this year, perhaps better than he did when he was named Coach of the Year, let's be honest, with all the distractions that were going on. I was sitting on the fence. I did my thing in Vancouver yesterday. I was sitting on the fence when I was put on the spot. Do you go outside the organization or do you hire Foote? I know Foote's a fantastic communicator. He's got the ear of the captain, and there's some continuity there. But I was sitting on the fence, guys, as to whether or not you needed a clean slate so there would be no bias coming back into training camp at the beginning of the year. They've gone this direction. I'm okay with either, I guess, is my final answer on the whole projection. I think they're close. I don't bring back Brock Besser. He made 6'5" last year. He's too slow. He's a one-trick pony. He's fine between the hash marks. Tip pass on the power play, continuation below the hash marks in the offensive zone. But tracking all three zones, fellas, it's not enough. I'm not going to $8 million on that. 25 goals last year, minus 25 on the defensive side. So that's not happening. Pooh Suter, I am going to look at responding to his great year there. So I think that they're close. Like they're going to be, but they need some growl in that lineup. They need more accountability in the dressing room. When JT Miller walked out the door, eliminate all the stories and everything else. Let's be honest. When he walked out the door, that team was missing that, weren't they? So I would be overpaying on the market for somebody like a Sam Bennett, perhaps going after someone, I don't know. I don't have all the UFAs in my mind right now, but that type of player that's going to hold people accountable in the room, they need more of that. Now going to Philly, let me just keep foaming at the mouth here. I think they're still a ways away. I really do. I don't like their goaltending that much, Kip. I think they're going to have to shore that up. They do have some great young players on the horizon. But Rick Tocchet, there's history there. There's accountability as an ex-Flyer. He's proven he turned over a leaf in Vancouver, built a culture there that did not exist. They were chasing that for a long time. So I think that he'll get them there sooner than later. But on balance right now, they would have to overshoot their trajectory to be a playoff team next year for me.
Books, I want to talk a little bit about playoff lineups and how tough it is for young guys, all these kids you're talking about, to be involved, to get in the lineup. If you're looking at Florida, who doesn't put Samoskevich in, I think he played one game in this series. Ryan Leonard is playing for Washington. But it takes a pretty special type of guy in the first year or two of your career to even be relevant in playoffs.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's the hardest time of year. And depending where you came from, so you talk about Leonard, you know, he was the captain at the World Juniors, best player, most valuable player at the World Juniors, goes back to college. You know, he's one of those Hobie Baker type finalists, but it's a heavy lift, fellas. You know that at this time of year. The good thing about Leonard is that that B game that he has, that heaviness, that he's in the trenches. So he doesn't necessarily have to handle it a lot to impact the game. That's similar to Matthew Nyes, right? Like when Matthew Nyes arrived in Toronto, you know what he does? He's got that secondary game that if he's not producing offense, he's capable. Sam Skavich is the exact opposite. So he comes out of Michigan, goes to the minors for a little bit. I didn't think he played poorly when he got in the lineup here, to be honest with you. I thought it was a unique element they had. He's got a little bit more burst. He's definitely got that offensive look to his game. But the Florida Panthers have a recipe, and they don't need to have that in the lineup because the recipe appears to be on the cusp of wearing down the opponent. So that makes it even harder for that guy in his skill set because he doesn't necessarily have the Leonard B game to earn minutes in playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Books, just want to switch gears to the Winnipeg Jets and the incredible season that they've had. And yet if they find a way to go quietly in this series against Dallas, is this just going to be a Connor Hellebuyck story? What else have you seen out of Winnipeg that spreads out, for a better word, you know, using blame?
Yeah, no, I don't know how I can't portray it exactly like that. I have to say it. I really felt like the Winnipeg Jets the other day were close to the best version of themselves on the road, a road game in the playoffs. I did. It wasn't that Hellebuyck was terrible, but he was clearly out goaltended by Ottinger in the other end. Three goals. You got to score. They generated something like 72 shots on goal, shot attempts on net. Those stats mean absolutely nothing to me, by the way, unless you're getting in inside and, you know, battling for secondaries and stuff like the perimeter stuff. I wish we could, that stat could go by the wayside because it doesn't matter. I want to know about all the quality, but having said that, yeah, it's been like that, guys. And, you know, in the NFL, you need your star quarterback to be the best guy. If the Toronto Raptors don't have Kawhi Leonard back in the day, you know, it doesn't happen. And in hockey, the goaltender, he has the ability to be the difference maker one way or the other. That's the job they signed up for. Hellebuyck, to me, has not been good enough. I think he's going to admit that. He probably will continue to admit that. They could turn this around. But let's also give some credit to the Dallas Stars. They're similar a little bit. They're different, but they're similar in terms of coming at you in waves. Like the Florida Panthers, they're a real good hockey team, and they're a lot to handle. And they're only getting better now with Heskin returning to the lineup.
So, Books, we were going to talk about this. We got talking about other stuff. So where do we sit for the Stanley Cup? Like, you know, you're through the second round. All the chaos around one has kind of died down. Do we have a favorite at this point?
Boy, oh, boy. I thought the Edmonton Oilers were dead to rights. I really did in the L.A. series.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought they let him off the mat. They just lost their structure. They couldn't get it done for the entirety of the series, LA. And you see what's happened the follow to that since then. Edmonton the other night against Vegas, that start, fellas, that first 10 minutes of that game might have been the quickest, most engaged hockey I've ever seen the Edmonton Oilers play. Think about it. They were running over the goalie. They were tracking up and down. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the goaltending still scares the you-know-what out of me at any given moment. But at the same time, what's going on in front of them, it brings me pause. I don't know how Edmonton can be beat right now. That's how I feel.
I'm with you. And I appreciate Rantanen. I appreciate the Dallas Stars being up 3-1. But as far as the look right now as a team that will take no for an answer, it's the Edmonton Oilers. And to me, the biggest reason why I didn't have them where I thought they could get to is Ekholm. And now there's talk about him coming back in the next series. And if they do get him, even at 60% or 65, will take them to another level. But they have the it factor for me right now.
That's well put. That's absolutely well put. They have the it factor. They're feeling it. It's like a giant snowball rolling down Mount Everest. You know, like they're really feeling it right now. And in the East, honestly, I know it's right in front of us, but the Florida Panthers are starting to look like they might not get beat again. And they might try, you know, Toronto could come back.
Yeah, I hear you.
They got home ice advantage, best 2 out of 3. I get it. But listen, Borny, remember last week I was texting you. Like I was in Florida when we signed Bobrovsky, okay? Yep. And we had good days and bad days with Bob. Good Bob, bad Bob. And on the bad days, because he's, remember when Samsonov was here, guys? He's 6'2" and a bit, but he played small. He was so active in his crease, a lot of fast twitch, unnecessary movement. Bobrovsky, if you look at some of the goals he allowed at the beginning of the series and his crease composure, he was a lot like that. He was far too busy. Fast forward to the other day. Remember that backdoor feed to Matthews on the flank? He not only came across, and now I'd like to see Austin get that to the net quicker, maybe a bobble, it doesn't matter. But my point is that Bobrovsky didn't go outside the post. Mm-hmm. He was inside it, had time to stand up to make a glove save.
Yeah.
He's looking like a brick wall.
Like catching flies.
It just looks like, you know, they look like they're about to wear everybody out, and you know they're coming to town feeling real good about themselves.
Sammy didn't like that. It's funny. We could look at last year's conference final.
Yeah, you just killed Sammy, by the way.
It was Edmonton, Dallas, Florida. You know, you may be looking at one team different from the year before there. Washington or Carolina. Carolina surprise you that they're got the Caps on the ropes?
Yeah, they have surprised me. They have. Yeah. They're relentless, right? They keep coming. Their coach is he coaches a great style for what he has to work with there. And this is interesting because there is a path to the Carolina Hurricanes playing the Dallas Stars somehow here. And that would be fascinating if that ever happened. But I just don't see out of that series, again, them coming through. If it ends up being Florida, I'll put it this way. If the Leafs get through, I think that matchup is more attractive for Carolina or Washington if they come back. But I don't think Florida is attractive to anybody if they get through this series as well, and if they're relatively healthy. Because this team, like, they get guys suspended, they poke you in the eyeball, they do whatever it takes, and it doesn't take them off their game plan ever. It's fascinating to watch. But Carolina, I feel like nobody's really watching, but they're sneaky good right now for sure. Mm-hmm.
Can Vegas extend at all here, or is this thing over?
Over. Over.
Okay.
Over.
All
it
right.
Might be over in the next swing here. It's fascinating to me how Drysdale got moved to the line with Pod Colson and Kapanen, and how they were shutting down Eichel. Now Jack Eichel, by the way, has had a fascinating year. He would have been on my ticket for the Selke. That's how good he's been in all three zones. He's totally flipped the script. But I see a rattled Vegas team. I see them engaging after whistles. McNabb looked like he wanted to fight everybody in the arena early in the game the other night. Aiden Hill's looking like Binnington jumping out of his crease, all that stuff. Not that I blame him. I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that they're in their heads. And I don't see that's going to be a comeback on the horizon.
Well, Books, you took the sail right out of Sammy, but we still appreciated you coming on.
Hey, Sammy, at least I haven't seen any Owen Sound Attack guys signing up to go play at the University of Michigan next year like it seems like the rest of the CHL is doing.
Yeah, yeah, thank God.
Oh, that's good.
Thank God. Maybe they just don't have enough good ones. Anyways, let's move on.
Books.
Thanks, buddy.
Enjoy the games tonight.
All right, boys. Keep your phones on. I'll be blowing you up.
Yes.
All right, pal. Sure. Chat soon.
Pro Hockey Group, former NHL scout, and Sportsnet's finest right there.
Mm-hmm.
Love, so,
that guy. Love that guy, except what he said.
Yeah. See, I loved Draisaitl with Podolsky and Kapanen. Why? Like, I love that. Switch it up. Like, have different looks. It's right. Okay. Marner, Matthews with Lorenz and Yarncroc. Give me something. Change it up.
Yeah, hey, listen. I am the foremost beater of that drum throughout the regular season. Matthews, you'll forget, a lot of people may not remember, last year it was Domi and Bertuzzi were his line mates. In the playoffs.
Is anybody,
he can drive a line.
Is anybody on the Leafs going to have a shift like Kapanen did? If Kapanen played like that on the Leafs, he might
Kapanen's
have stayed sticker.
Ceiling is high. Like, he can do some
things. He's a very talented guy.
He was running around.
Yeah.
Like, he was not just
fast, can be physical.
Hammering guys. Yeah. So, we'll see.
All right.
Oh, it's too close.
Sam's nervous.
I'm really nervous.
A reminder, Florida and Toronto Maple Leafs, 7 p.m. Eastern, Sportsnet, CBC, Oilers, Vegas Golden Knights, 9:30 Eastern, Sportsnet, CBC. Is there any reason not to watch? Any? The answer?
Crippling anxiety?
No.
Okay. Couch
no.
time. It's couch time.
Enjoy it. And we're back tomorrow. If you get a chance, give us a ratings and review. We'd love to hear from you. Enjoy your games. Have a great night, everybody.